Good morning. How many of you read your Bible every day? If you added it up, how much time do you suppose you spend reading your Bible every week? Bible reading used to be a priority in people's lives. However, with everything that's good and wholesome, Satan has found a way to distract us from it. Do you get on social media every day? How much time do you spend on social media every day? Have you ever started watching a YouTube video or TikTok video and next thing you know, you've wasted an hour looking at your phone? Or have you ever got on Facebook or one of those social media platforms and realized that you've wasted an hour or 2 hours of your time? It seems like a good way to connect to people, but it is oftentimes distracts us from something that's more important. Some people have a specific time set aside for social media, and they will say, okay, my time for social media is from 4:30 to 5:30 every day, and that's when I get on. I don't get any more than that. Or I check my emails every morning from 7 in the morning till 8:30 in the morning, and I don't ever do any other than that. And some are not so much. Some people use every waking moment. If their phone vibrates, they check it. If they're sit down to eat, they got to send a Facebook page. Or if they drink a water, they send a Facebook, I just took a drink of water, whatever. Every little detail in their life is public domain and broadcast on social media. This sermon is not about social media, and I in no way am condemning it, but I believe it has consumed us to the point that we're caught in a vortex and don't even realize it. We are enamored with the idea that we can talk to anybody on the planet at any given time via text or phone message. And so we use that to just whatever we do. When I was worshiping at the Southwest Church of Christ in Austin, the preacher who taught on Wednesday night class would ask at the beginning of class, how many of you read your Bibles every day? And he would ask for a show of hands, and everyone would raise their hands, and it was silence as he would stand there, and everybody had their hands up, and one of the elders or one of the deacons was in the back, and he was counting all the hands. He was actually up on the balcony, and he was counting how many was reading. And then the preacher would give the signal to the guy or the guy would give the signal to the preacher that he had gotten the count, and the preacher would resume his class. Now, those people that were reading their Bibles every day, they had made it a point actually answered a challenge to read the Bible every single day of their lives. And at the end of the sermon, whoever did the count would give a copy of that to that preacher, and that preacher would make sure it goes in the bulletin. So every Sunday in the bulletin, there was a number. We had 279 Bible readers this week. We had 277 Bible readers this week. And he would do it. Once a week he would do it, and he would post it in the bulletin. I would like to challenge this congregation to commit to reading our Bibles every day. And we can get a count each Sunday. I'll have one of the boys to get it. I'll ask for a show of hands. I'll have one of the boys to count and give me a count at the end of the service, and we'll put it in the bulletin, and we will keep a track. And what this does, it gives us some accountability, wherein, when was the last time I stood here and I asked you, how many of you read your Bibles every day? I have asked that question before, but it's been a long time, to the point that I don't even remember when it was. And I got to the point where I started looking at it. When I asked the question, I thought, that's a serious question that I really need to ask myself. There's not a day go by that I don't get into my Bible, but it's not necessarily a reading. It is more of I'm working on my sermon, I'm working on a class, I'm working on my studies, but sometimes I fail to do my own personal Bible reading. And when I looked at that and I thought, if I'm failing to do my personal Bible reading, then I know that it's a challenge to you as well, and it's difficult for us to get that done. Now, when I say that I want to challenge the congregation to a daily reading, I'm not talking about just reading like you read the newspaper. Scan through to see if you can find something interesting, and if you do, skim through that a little bit. I'm talking about comprehensive reading, that our lives may be enriched for it. In the Old Testament, they understood the importance of the law of God. If you look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, they understood the importance of getting into the Word of God. It says in Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You're going to read this every day of your life. You got to get this book. You got to read it every day of your life. That's what you're going to do. You realize when this was? Joshua 1 verse 8 was just immediately prior to going into the promised land, where they're going to be in battle after battle after battle, and they're going to inherit the land promised to their ancestors, their forefathers. They're fixing to go into this, and the first advice that God gives them, he's only on verse 8 of the first chapter, and he's giving them this advice: get in the book, read the book that is written every single day of your life, day and night, meditate upon God's word. Does anyone in here believe that it's not important to meditate upon God's word? Does anybody in here believe that it is a hindrance to you to read God's word every single day? Does anybody in here believe that it would slow you down to get into God's word? Does anybody in here believe that reading God's word would take you away from something more important every single day? I don't want an answer to those questions, but I want you to answer them yourself. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, God tells the Israelites that when they appoint a king over them, that he is to read the book of law every day so that he does not transgress God's laws. Why? Why do they start with the king? Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 17, we're going to read verses 18 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. That is a powerful verse there, but as he's telling the king, he says, you are the leader of the land. He didn't go in and say, okay, you need to read, and you need to read, and you need to read, and maybe it'll be contagious and everybody will read. He goes straight to the source. He goes straight up to the king. It was very important that the highest person in the land, the king himself, would make choices based on God's word. He goes to the king and he says, I want you and all of your house to read. Why? So that you don't get yourself above everybody else, so you don't start to think that you're better than your brethren. He's telling him that the word of God is going to humble him. That's what he says there. And you read it and you read it and you read it. It's like, wow, usually you read these commandments that God gives to those kings, and they're kind of rote commandments. But when you look at this, he says, you're going to get into the word. You're going to write the law of the priest. You're going to write it down in a book, and you're going to read it all the days of your life so that you don't think that you're ever above those your brethren. He didn't say so that you as king don't feel like you're above your subjects. He says your brethren. Very important. I've met people who won't teach their children about the Bible. They say this, well, we're going to let them make the decision for themselves when they're old enough to make that decision. Basically, essentially, we don't want to influence them in either direction. Well, if you don't influence them towards God, I can assure you that the world will influence them away from Him as soon as they get the chance. I think it would be good for us to read the Bible all the days of our lives like the king was commanded. I can't imagine being part of a kingdom. I can't imagine being part of a kingdom like that, much less a kingdom where everyone believes and wants to obey God. Wouldn't that be great? Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. It says here, beginning in verse 2 of Nehemiah 8, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Run your sermon 15 minutes over and see what happens. People lose attention. People may not tell me, man, you went way over. Well, some people will. Most people won't say, you went way over. That's unheard of. That's uncalled for. That's unacceptable. But in their minds, they will think that. And whether they say that or not, I guarantee you from this viewpoint right here, I can tell right when people lose interest. I can tell when they pick up their phones and they're not reading their Bibles. I can tell when they're scrolling through something else. I can tell when they're playing with their children. I can tell when they're over there, whatever they're doing. We lose attention. I'm not calling anybody out or accusing anybody. But you look at this. Ezra got up and he read the book of law. He read God's word from the morning all the way to the middle of the day. And they were very attentive to it. They were attentive to the book of law. All the men, all the women, everyone old enough to understand what was being said. You think your kids can write and color and play when they're little? That's great. When they're 13 years old, they need to be paying attention. They need to be listening. They need to be, if they're old enough to understand the Word of God, they're old enough to pay attention. They shouldn't be coloring anymore or be given tasks to keep them busy during the worship service or to keep them out of your hair. It's a scary thing. Some of you may have seen or even committed one of those read through the whole Bible in a year challenges. They have challenges like that. Some of them are cards where it'll tell you, it'll have the date, and it'll tell you how much to read on that date, and January 1, January 2, January 3, and it regiments. Some of it jumps around so as to not get you bored with a certain group going through verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4 of a book, or chapter 1, chapter 2. So it'll read, today it'll read a chapter from this book, tomorrow a chapter from another book, and jump around quite a bit in order to keep you from getting bored. The problem with that is it keeps you from learning anything. You're just reading a chapter of Matthew today, a chapter of Deuteronomy tomorrow doesn't help you to learn anything. However, I still encourage it. It'll get you through the Bible based on a specific number of verses. Some of them tell you if you read X amount of verses every single day, you will read through your Bible in a year. I've done it. I've read through it. I've gone through some of those challenges. While I commend it as a noble gesture, if it's not reading to understand, it might be just wasting your time. If you're going to commit to reading our Bibles on a daily basis, we need to do it with understanding, not just going through the motions, as said. If we make a distinction between reading and studying, that means that you have to read your Bible and you have to have a time for studying your Bible. That's a lot because I'm expecting you. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to come to Bible class on Sunday morning. I'm asking you to come to worship on Sunday morning. I'm asking you to come to worship on Sunday night. I'm asking you to come to worship on Wednesday night. I'm asking you to read your Bible every day, and I'm asking you to study your Bible every day, or at least study your Bible every week. So if you have a daily reading schedule and you have a weekly study schedule where you sit down, okay, so this week or this right now until I get done with it, I'm going to be studying the book of Judges or the book of Ruth or whatever the book may be. I'm going to be studying that book. That's my study that I'm studying. But on my daily reading schedule, I'm reading this, this, and this, or I'm reading through the Bible in 1 year. Okay, so if we make the distinction between reading and studying our Bibles, we can really glean the most blessings from our daily readings. And what I mean by that is if you study a book or a chapter and then you're reading your Bible every day, the more you get into the Bible, the more you'll start to, the language will flow and make more sense. And the more you read through it, if you read through it every day for a year, you think about some of you have been in a member of the church for 40, 50 years. If you've been reading your Bible through one every day and read through the whole Bible once a year, all them 40 years you've read the Bible for, all that, the whole Bible 40 times, that's a lot. And you'll get to where you're familiar with those passages. So then when you go through and you're just reading a daily passage, how that helps you right there. Someone asks you a question about something, I know where that's at. That's over in Joshua. I can go to that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is an all too familiar passage. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we rightly divide the word of truth, we will learn where to go for specific verses to help in whatever need we may have at the time, or whatever trouble we're going through, or whatever trouble our friends are going through, our family are going through, or whatever we may need to help someone. If we accept the challenge to do a Bible reading, we will find that some passages will challenge us and influence us in ways that we never imagined. They will help in our lives. We will start to find that we start to mold our lives around what we read in Scripture. We will start to mold our lives around what God says instead of what the world has been telling us every single day. I can tell you this. Nobody is going to give you the Word of God on a daily basis, but without the Word of God, the world is going to influence you in worldly ways every single day, one way or another. They've captured the media, they've captured television, they've captured the movies, they've captured the big screen, they've captured the internet, they've captured Facebook and social media, they've captured everything, and they're flooding your house and your home and your brains with worldly stuff all day, every day. Even when it has a religious undertone, it still is worldly most of the time. They're sending you false doctrine through in the name of religion, even in that. So we have to make sure that we take it upon ourselves and say, I have quiet time to myself. I can read my Bible. Let me tell you something, married couples. You want to strengthen your marriage? Make your daily reading time one of couples reading time. Sit together, study your Bible, read your Bible together, or read your Bible by yourself, but do your study as a couple. Put it together. Accept the challenge. I would encourage you, if you still have kids at home, I would encourage you to read as a family and not just one of you read in the morning before you go to work and the other one read when the kids are taking a nap during the day or whatever the case may be. Your kids grow up their whole lives and don't even know that you ever read your Bible. I read my Bible every single day. I never saw you read it. No, this because I read it before you woke up because you were such a terrorist jumping in and out of the house and couldn't read it. And so I read it when you were asleep. Well, that doesn't help them. Sit down and read the Bible with them. Sometimes kids are hard to put down for a nap. After they get to a certain age, they're hard to put down for a nap. Say, well, you're going to sit down and I'm going to read my Bible. And they may fall asleep during that reading, but at least they got it when you started reading it. It's a very important part of our life, and the kids will notice that when they see us reading our Bibles, they'll think, that was an important part of my life. I don't know how many people I've done funerals for that have told me, you know, my mom used to read the Bible to me every single day. Ever since I was a little kid, my mom would read the Bible to me. All the good stories in the Bible I know because my mom read them to me. That's where I got them. That's a great family practice, and it's one that's almost been forgotten in our generation, or in this generation, I should say. But it's very important, like the king in Deuteronomy. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. It says here in Luke 10, 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Okay, so this lawyer gets up and he tempts the Lord and he goes, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, let me see. Let me open up the book and read it. No, Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you see it? What does the law say and how do you see it? Jesus expected him to know the answer to his own question. He asked the question and Jesus turned it around on him and he expected him to already know it. What is written in the law? You tell me. Jesus expected him to have read and understood the law, and he expects us to read his word as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, 1 Timothy 4 verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I don't know if the lawyer understood the law, but he did read it, and he knew it well. Okay, so when he says, what is written in the law, and how readest thou, or how do you understand it? He had read it. In fact, he knew it well. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Luke 10, verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt. This is his answer. How do you understand it? What is written and how do you understand it? He answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say, hold on a minute. Let me pull it up on my phone and see what it says. He didn't say, hold on, I got the book right here. He didn't say, hold on, I have it on the frontlets here. Let me unroll it and read it. He quoted it. He quoted it. This is a lawyer that asked Jesus a question. Jesus said, what is it written in the law? And he quoted the law. This proves not only that he had read it, but he had committed it to memory. However, when Jesus told him that he needed to apply it, he asked, and who is my neighbor? The last thing he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? He evidently memorized the book, but never made application or had no idea how to understand what was written there. When it says this guy was a lawyer, he's not talking about the hammer time lawyer like you see on TV, hammer ambulance chasers, all these lawyers we see on there. They're not talking about that kind of lawyer. The lawyers of Jesus' day were those who studied the law of God. However, many of them had become more like the lawyers that we see on TV. Listen to what Jesus says about them in Matthew chapter 23, verses 3 through 6. Matthew 23, verses 3 through 6. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost chambers at the feast, and in the chief seats in the synagogues. If we just read our Bibles to be recognized, to fulfill a commitment, then we're not doing it for the right reasons. When I say I want to challenge you to read your Bible, don't say, "Oh, all right, I'll do it. I'm not going to like it. In the beginning was the word." Don't do it for that reason. Don't do it for me. But I want to challenge you to do it for yourself. Read your Bible every single day for yourself. There are certain things on Facebook that I don't know how to operate. I'll ask Daniel or I'll ask Eric at work, how do I do this or how do I do that? And they know how to get through that stuff. There are certain things on the computer that I can't figure out. I'll sit in my computer and I'll call Darlene and say, "Hey, can you help me with this? I can't figure out why it won't paragraph the way I want it to. Oh, you got this wrong, or you need to fix this, or you need to fix that. I can't figure out why this thing won't print. What do I need to do?" I don't think when I get to the gates of heaven or when I stand before judgment, they're not going to ask me, "You know how to figure out how to manipulate Facebook? You know how to operate a printer? You know how to run social media? You know how to post things? You know how to sell online?" None of that's going to play in. All the things that distract us from God, they're not going to come to light at all. They're going to be done. In 2007, I heard a saying that has stuck with me for the last 15 years. It was at the Lubbock Lectures, and the speaker of the hour was Brad Harib, and he stood before the congregation and he said something that I'll never forget and I have said over and over again. You've heard me say it many times right here from this pulpit. You may have thought it originated with me, but it did not. It came from Brad Harib. It may not have originated with him. He may have got it somewhere else. I do not know. But I do know exactly when I heard it, and I have kept it and maintained it ever since. Get into the Bible until the Bible gets into you. Get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you. This is, if we get into our Bibles the way God intended for us to do, the Word of God will become an integral part of our lives and it will reflect in everything that we do. How can you let your light shine before men if you don't even have the information that you need to shine your light? Psalm 119 verse 11. Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119 verse 11, if you drop down to verse 105 of Psalm 19, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're walking in a dark world, and if we don't get into the Word of God, we're not going to find our way to the true light. Amen. Before I went to Southwest, my Bible reading was regimented and deliberate. I'd sit down and I'd read two chapters, or I'd read whatever. I was just going through the motions. That doesn't mean it wasn't beneficial. And if you don't know how to get started, there are some easy plans. One, read Monday through Friday a chapter each day of the book of James. This is to get you started. Read a chapter. There's five chapters: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've told you this before. I've used it in other sermons before. If it's Thursday and you haven't read your Bible Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, don't worry about it. Read Thursday. This is only to get you to read every day, not to play catch up. When you're doing a yearly read, you got to read through your Bible in 1 year. If you wake up on Friday and realize you haven't read since last Friday, you got to catch up. That's a lot of reading. That's why people do this. I'm done with that study. I'm not going to finish it. Wait, it's only January 15th. Too bad. I'm not going to try that ketchup. It's too much. But if you're going to focus on just read what you're going to read for today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's 5 days. You'll read through the book of James 52 times in a year. The second one is the book of Proverbs. Read one chapter a day. What's today? Today is the 10th. We're going to read chapter 10 today. Whatever day it is, that's a chapter you read. If today's the first day you started reading, don't say, "I got 9 chapters I got to catch up on." Just read today. You're going to read 31 chapters in 1 month. Some months don't have that many days, so you're going to have to double up. It's not that big a deal. Those chapters are short. You can do this. Read a chapter every day. Read a chapter every day. The reason I picked James and Proverbs, for one, the numbers work really, really well. For two, these are very good books to help us in our daily lives. books, words of wisdom to help us to handle the daily things that we go through, to get us through those things. Plus, while reading this, it helps us with the verbiage of the Bible. Some people don't read their Bible because it's confused. Thou, thee, thine, thus. I have such a hard time reading it. Don't do that. Read it, read it, read it. The more you read it, the easier it comes. Easier it gets. When I got serious about reading my Bible, I found that it was easy to get distracted. My mind would say, did you check the water? Did you turn off the water? I better go check that. I'd get up from my study. I'd get back. I'd be studying. Did you do this? Oh, I better go check that. Oh, you better hurry up. You're going to be late. You got to be at Charlie's store by 11 o'clock. You better get going. Whatever the case may be, I had things going on, and my mind would always distract me, and it was very easy to get distracted. It doesn't have to distract you to where you pull off your reading. All it has to do is keep your mind distracted to where you're not getting what you should be getting out of the reading, or you're not reading as much as you should be reading. I would discover that if I would read out loud, it would prevent my mind from wandering so much. This is very beneficial for families when you're reading as a family. The family is tuned in. The husband is reading the passage. The wife is making sure the kids are paying attention. Or the wife is reading the passage. Or everyone takes turn reading the passage. And we'll read through it. And it becomes a fun time, and the kids begin to want to do it. Hey, Mom, can I read? There's nothing that will help your kids more when they're 18 or 19 years old to understand what they're reading than if you have read with them since they were 3 and 4 years old or been reading with them their whole lives. They understand what those words mean. They don't say, what does thy mean and thou? I don't know what that means. What does that mean? I don't know. Yeah, they know what it means because you explained it to them. You told them. And so there's Bibles that don't have those words too. They have it broken down easy to where you can understand it. I would get up and start a project, never come back to my reading until the next day. I got distracted. I discovered that if I would just read out loud, I could eliminate the wandering mind. It also should be a goal of ours to focus on what we're reading so that we can literally get into the Word of God. Sometimes it helps when you read out loud. If you read out loud, to read like if you're reading to a crowd. Imagine yourself standing before the congregation. I'm not talking about showboating. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was not like that. But what I'm talking about is reading more than just in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. Because you're not going to get what you need to get out of it. You need to read it like you would speak, the way you would talk. And so that way, that's why reading out loud helps. In fact, I found out it was very, very difficult when you're in Southwest when they say you have to read the book of Joshua 3 times this semester. Here's an affidavit to sign to verify that you did read it comprehensively. You didn't just read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. I read it 3 times, right? No, you read it comprehensively once, read it comprehensively twice. I found that if I sat out on my back porch and I read out loud, I wasn't distracted by squirrels and birds and dogs and cats and the wind and everything else. What a nice day. I need to go ride my bike. No. Read out loud and read it like you would speak. Read it the same way you would speak. It may be a little bit cumbersome at first because you come across words that are hard to pronounce. Go through them. Pass through them. You'll get it. It'll get better. It'll get easier as time goes on. The more you read your Bible, the more you will realize that you don't need a key verse to help you in times of need. You will find that there are helpful words of encouragement in every passage somewhere for some reason, and you will know where to go to find those. If not, you will at least remember a portion of that passage, and we are so blessed today. We used to have to do it the old-fashioned way like Charlie does it. We had a concordance about that thick, and you have to go through page after page after page. Others have smartphones. Doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. There it is. There's the verse I'm looking for. There's every verse that has that word in it. And we can do that. It's very, very easy. And on your computer, you can do that. So it's real easy to find verses. Man, I can't remember what that verse was. It says something about old wineskins or something. Look it up. It's there. It's easy to find. So you can remember, the more you read your Bible, the more bits and pieces of verses you'll remember so that when you need them, you'll know where to go for that. Psalm 119, verse 175. Psalm 119, verse 175, let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. The judgments of God, the words of God can help us if we just let them help us get into the Word of God. Some people really don't know where to start when they begin a Bible reading program schedule. Again, there's applications you can get for your phone that will remind you not to miss your daily reading. Some will even send you a notice letting you know these are the verses you need to read today. Look it up. There's apps out there for all kinds of stuff that you can, that can help you if you need that. If you don't need that, you have a Bible. It starts in Genesis, ends in Revelation. Open it and read it. You don't have to go through the whole Bible in 1 year. You don't have to do that. Don't say, well, if I don't do that, I'm a failure. Don't. Just get in there and read. Read. So I've never understood. I've never knew what the book of Ezra is about. Nehemiah. What's Nehemiah? I don't know. I think I'll study that. Look up. You can find books online that can help you get through it and give you the time frames and stuff like that. A lot of them just give you backgrounds in many applications. If we can commit to reading our Bible every day for a week, then we know that we can commit for a month. If we can commit for a month, we can commit for a year. If we commit for a year, we can become lifelong Bible readers, and we can be students of God's Word, never missing a day. And like the King of Israel, let it all the days of your life read the Word of God. We can become lifelong students of God's Word, never missing a day. If you decide you'll open to Genesis 1:1 and read so much a day till you have read the whole Bible, till you get to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, that would be commendable. However, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get to Numbers chapter 5 and chapter 1, verse 5, and you're going to go, ugh. You're going to bog down. Your reading is going to be going, wom, 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 and all of a sudden you're going to get to Numbers chapter 1, and it gets, and this is like the car that died, and you're like fighting it to the side of the road. You can't, it won't start again because you can't get that interest started again. There's going to be some things that are very, very boring to read. I'll admit it. There's things that are very difficult to read. Later, when you have a better understanding of the Bible, those things come into play. Now I understand that. Now I understand why those, when you get to the book of, when you're going through Numbers and you can't understand all of those numbers of the people, and these people did this, and this tribe did this, and this tribe did that. When you get to the book of Joshua and you see that some tribes stayed on the other side of Jordan that we read this morning, a half tribe of Manasseh, that'll make more sense. So we get into God's Word and we start studying, and we'll start to understand those things a lot better. However, if you get into reading your Bible, you'll find that even those tough books add to our understanding of God's will for us as His creation. Plus, as you go through the names of the people and the tribes, it will help you to better understand the New Testament passages that refer back to those tribes and those names and those topics. Have you ever seen a man lead the Lord's table? He opens his Bible to read a passage. He opens to a specific passage and he reads a passage for the communion. Or have you ever heard a song leader say, to prepare us for the Lord's Supper, turn with me to song number, and he takes you to the song number. We see it all the time, right? It is to prepare us. Let me read from this verse to prepare us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let me sing this song. Let us all stand and sing this song to prepare us for the Lord's Supper. What if we considered our daily Bible reading in light of what we have before us? For instance, on Saturday night, we read verses concerning worship to help prepare us for worship, to get us in the mood for worship, or to get us in the mode for worship, or the practice of partaking of the communion. Read the verses about communion so that we partake of the communion. Read the verses about giving so that when we give, we will give with a cheerful heart. One preacher suggested having a passage marked in your Bible that you can read to yourself while the communion is being passed on to the rest of the congregation. In other words, the communion tray comes to you, and then as it's passed on, you open and you read this passage, and it helps keep your mind in the right mindset. I thought that was interesting. I don't do that. I'll bow and pray, but that's a good way to do that. We can read here and there as well as sitting down to read. You don't have to say, okay, I'm going to answer the challenge. Jim's challenging us to read our Bibles every day. Every day from now on, I'm going to read at 8:05 till 8:25 every single day for the rest of my life. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to read, sit down and say, have a specific time that you read every day. Just read every day. Today it could be that you're stuck in traffic and you got your phone, you're sitting at the railroad tracks waiting for the train to go by. You ain't going nowhere till that train is done. It may be only 5 minutes, but you got 5 minutes there. You may be sitting in a doctor's office. You're going to be waiting 20 minutes before the nurse calls you in. You got 20 minutes to read your Bible on your phone, or pull it out of your purse and read it, or your pocket. I know guys carry Bibles in their pocket. We don't have to read it. You don't have to sit down and tackle a chapter or a book of the Bible. Don't forget, we need to do comprehensive study of God's words. Imagine if you were the only one left who knew how to read. And people were asking you to read the Bible to them. They started asking you things like, what does that mean? And what does this mean? You would really want to know the context of a passage as well as who wrote it so that you could answer the questions. Who it was written to, who it was written for, who wrote it, to help you explain. Now consider this. There's no one to ask you. Wouldn't it be a good idea to know those things for yourself? So that you know the answers to those questions? When you read on your daily reading, it might be a good idea to read a verse or a paragraph two or three times to better let it sink in. Have you ever read something and then you look up and you turn around and you start back at where you thought you left off and only to realize about five verses down that that's not where you left off? That means that those five verses didn't really sink in. Otherwise, you would have clicked, I've already read this. It wasn't until five verses later that you realize you already read that. Sometimes our minds can do a lot of things. And they can trick us or they can get distracted very easily without us knowing it. So we need to make sure that we do this. And again, read it sometimes two or three times. It will help. Always try to identify with the people who the text is addressed to and see how it applies in your life. It may be addressed to the Israelites and it means something to them that totally doesn't mean anything to us. And there's passages like that. When you start reading about the book of Noah and Noah was told to build an ark, the measurements of the ark don't really mean a lot to me. But the fact that he followed those measurements to the letter does mean a lot because it means that God specifically told him how to do it and he followed God's word. So there is an application in my life. It's not to go out and get some gopher wood and build an ark, but is rather to obey God and listen to what he says. And so we have that example. So there are great jewels of gold and silver and precious jewels within the scripture that we can add to our lives to enrich ourselves in the word of God. Again, try to apply or identify with those people that it was written to. It may just apply in that that you know now more than you did before. It may not apply in any other way, but it will help us as, and it may give us the tools we need to help others. The Bible perhaps is one of the most valuable things you'll ever hold in your hands. It's like having your very own treasure that you have there. We take it for granted here because we can buy any one of these anytime. The literal physical Bible is a bestseller every single year. It's every single year, forever and ever and ever. Sells more than any other book, always. Some people say, yeah, that's because people buy hundreds of them at a time to give away or whatever the case may be, it still is. You don't have to go out and buy a physical Bible. I've had people tell me, what's a good Bible to read? It just depends. Some of them are better than others. There are some translations that will lead you astray, and they have notes in there that will guide you away from the truth. That is a fact. If you get the King James, the American Standard, New King James, those three are very good translations. They have their problems. All three of them have their problems. American Standard Version is probably the closest thing to the Greek. New American Standard, still a good translation. There are other good translations. I'm just saying those three are probably pretty solid that you can go to that you won't be led astray and they won't give you false information. Psalm 119, verse 162. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Reading it allows us to come to the throne room of God. It allows us to build confidence in our faith and it allows us to come before God boldly before his throne. In his petition. Psalm 119 verse 160, and we'll close. Psalm 119 verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word should be a treasure to us in a way that we should hold it and keep it precious in everything that we do. Now, here's the challenge. I challenge you to read your Bible every single day from now until the day you die. Now, this is a challenge. I'm not just giving you a challenge that we're going to check and see how the challenge goes by the end of the week. Let me explain this. Next Sunday, when I step up into the pulpit, the first thing I'm going to ask is I want to see a show of hands of everybody that read their Bible every day this week. If you don't read, don't be embarrassed. That's okay. It happens. We get busy sometimes, but the challenge is there. Let's challenge ourselves to get into the Word of God every single day, and let's read God's Word every single day. Now, that challenge is going to go on. Like I said, it's not going to end this week. It's going to go for the rest of your life. If I die next week, I don't want y'all to let that challenge die with me. Y'all continue to read your Bibles. Everybody, we all need to read our Bibles every single day. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the invitation is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?